What's good, everybody? It's your boy Anonymous, the author, aka Anonymous Rap Guy, and I am back for another Anonymous Author Podcast episode. So, yeah, man, today, just really checking in with everybody, making sure everybody's doing good. I got me a little sippy sip, man. I got me a little Captain Morgan right here. I got me a little tea, a little something to help it go down a little smoother. I'm not really a big drinker in the first place, but yeah, we're going to be a little lax and chill on this episode, man. I hope y'all are doing good out there. I figured I'd just touch on a couple things today. I really don't have any, like, kind of set time to see how long this will last. Like I say, I'm just sipping. I'm just going through some news topics. I'm just really seeing what everybody got going on. And, yeah, so first topic of the day is apparently, like, Lady Gaga had a dog walker, and they shot the dog walker and kidnapped the dog, man. And she's offering $500,000 to get the dog back. Look, I'm a dog person. You know, I'm all for dogs. I'm all for you know, making sure that you And the dog walker is recovering well, by the way. He's not dead. He got shot. Like, people out here crazy, man. Like, why would you go out your way? I don't know. It doesn't really have much detail on, like, if he was looking out for it, like, if she was targeted, or if these people were, like, just dog kidnappers, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if she was being, like, focused on, or if this just happened to be somebody that was going to get robbed and they shot the guy, but $500,000 for a dog? I had a dog, man. If y'all stole my dog, good luck, man. My dog was crazy. His name was Lucky. He used to bite and attack everybody he met, man. They just probably end up giving me the dog back. Like, look, here, man, we'll give you the money just to take the dog back. Look, we sorry. But, yo, prayers for that man that got shot. Yeah. Oh, this drink got me feeling good, man. What's y'all favorite drink of choice? I think it's funny that Hennessy, like, I've always heard, like, black people love Hennessy, but during Black History Month, Hennessy has really leaned in to, like, they working with the NBA now. They got spots on ads about Hennessy and Black History Month. Like, they have really leaned in. Like, yo, we support black people, like. That's a great partnership, I gotta say. Of 2021, the things that I'm happy to see is that black people in Hennessy are finally having a mutually beneficial relationship. I hope Hennessy is donating. I hope they're reaching out and doing some ads, because black people have been supporting Hennessy for a while. I'm not a huge fan of Hennessy myself. I don't really drink it, but if y'all want to sponsor this podcast, I can definitely become a Hennessy supporter. I definitely can come out and support Hennessy on the double if y'all want to support the podcast at Anonymous Rap Guy. Holla at your boy. But, yeah, man, I'm sipping this Captain Morgan. I ain't feeling no pain, y'all. I'm in a good mood. I'm working on my new music project. I got a little crazy theme. I'm going to share it with y'all, and y'all can tell me what. Y'all can just be honest with your boy. It's definitely abstract. It's definitely weird. Definitely off the wall. So the concept and idea for this whole project is that basically it's in a world similar to a world like ours, where the guy is basically experiencing dealing with monsters and all these evil characters, and he's just trying to find his way in the world, trying to figure out where he fits in, trying to figure out what he's going to do with his life, basically. And at the current point, all he's doing is really, like, playing video games and, like, expressing himself and, like, writing stuff down and trying to figure out, like, where he fits in the whole world. And to me, like, I kind of really identify with that, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like, we all just want to express ourselves. Like, we all just want to be like, hey, this is where I come from. This is who I am. This is what my life is. You know what I mean? And that kind of hit me like the inspiration for this. Like, I didn't just want it to be like a barrific, bartastic. Like, I mean, I got bars, don't get me wrong, but I didn't really want it to be that. I wanted it to kind of be something a little different, something a little abstract. So it's going to be a short little EP. about 6 or 7 songs altogether, and yeah, we'll just see where it goes, man. I'm expecting the world from it, you know. I'm expecting it to be you know, platinum plus, 2 million plus streams, 2 billion plus downloads. Y'all know, man. I got the world expected for this one. But realistically, I'm really just trying to express myself. I'm really just trying to try something a little different, because I really haven't had any direction in my past projects. Pleasantville Complex was probably one of the EPs that I had like the most thought into. Like, I really kind of wanted it to like look different. I wanted it to be different. I wanted it to be something completely abstract, but it didn't really end up working out like that, and I'm cool with that, you know. But I really like the thought that I had put into it. I really kind of like some of the undertones that I came up with, so I decided to push it to the limit with this one, and I'm happy with what I'm writing, man. It's like I said, I don't know if everybody will get it. I don't know if everybody will rock with it. I don't know if it'll really catch the vibes, but you got to branch out and do something different. You know, you can't keep trying to do the same thing over and over and over and over again. So that's kind of the inspiration for this project. And I was getting to a point with it where I was really going too in depth on it. Like, I was trying to work out the names of, like, it was just way too much. And I'm at like a happy medium where I am right now on the project, and I really think y'all gonna like it. So make sure you follow me across social media. Make sure you check out your boy on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, y'all know what I mean. Anywhere music can be found is where your boy's music can be found, and the project is hopefully going to be dropping in the next month or so. I'm ready to get it recorded, ready to get it mixed and mastered, and ready to get it out to you guys, and hopefully y'all catch the vibes. Hopefully y'all really rocking with it. Just like my other projects, this one probably won't really have any features. I might work on some features in the future, but like the J. Cole's, the Soulzilla's, like they don't really do a lot of features on their projects, and I really like their projects because of that. Like, I really be catching the vibes from their sound and the vibes from their execution, because it's like, yo, this is all them. This is nobody else. This is their entire thought process. And I mean, if they got other writers on it, they got other writers on it. But this is 100% me, 100% me being authentic. Like, just coming with different inspiration, like listening to different kinds of music, trying to really incorporate a lot of different stuff into my sound, you know, keeping it my sound, but definitely getting different inspirations from different places. So we're going to see what happened, man. We're going to see where we go from here. And I really hope y'all catch the vibes with it, man. Y'all know I've been doing this solo thing. Well, not really solo. Y'all know I rock with Fobator, my producer, but like on a rapping tip, really just been rocking solo. I tried to do some collaborations with some people a while back, and it really didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to. I really wasn't feeling like some of the features that I had gotten, so I kind of just was like, forget it. I'll just, you know, rock it solo until I get to a place where I really feel comfortable working with other artists, or I really feel comfortable incorporating other people in the process of me making music, because, like, doing stuff over the internet is cool, but a lot of times the sound recording doesn't come out the way you want it to. People's production doesn't really match your own. Their style doesn't match your own. It's like you kind of just reaching. But yeah, like, I guess it's just going to be, the rest of this is just going to be like me sharing my music experiences. But man, I done got old, y'all. I ain't got to the point where a lot of the people that I used to do music with don't even do music anymore. Like, that's the kind of bummer that, like, that's the thing that kind of, like, sets me back some, is, like a lot of the people that I started making music with when I was younger, like, they just aged out of it. Like, they got their own lives, they got their own futures, they got their own lifestyles now, and they just don't do music at all, which is totally understandable. I don't want to sound like I'm one of those people that's just like, oh, they needed to keep doing it and, you know, harping on that. But it's, like, it's definitely a bummer when, like, your group of friends or your group of people that you originally rocked with kind of just aged out of what you really have a passion for, or just found other avenues or found other outlets. And that's really what got me into comedy, is because, like, I'm going to be 31 this year, and it's like, I can't just keep rapping. I can't just, like, I don't want to be that 40-year-old dude that's like, yo, I'm about to blow next year, y'all. Like, I had a pretty, I mean, I'm not stopping, don't get me wrong. I'm still going to be making music. I'm always going to have that passion to be like a musician or like a rapper or like a writer or poet kind of thing. But I kind of just wanted to focus my writing abilities in different avenues, watching different people on YouTube and following different people on social media. Like, you really start to get to a feel and a grasp for other things that are out there. And I've always thought I was like a goofy dude. I've always enjoyed telling jokes. I've always enjoyed making people laugh. So I branched out, started doing this comedy thing, and it's really helped sharpen my pen game, I think, with the music, because with comedy and with like writing in general, because I have been like working on my own book, it's just everything has to connect, and you have to make sure you have certain themes, and you have to make sure that you stick with certain ideas throughout the whole way through, and have little iterations and have little alliterations and allusions and allegories and all about a lot of laws that you can, you know what I mean, to try to get a point across. And I think it's really strengthened my pen game. I think it's really enhanced what I already had going for me. Not saying I'm the best writer. You know what, man? I'm going to just be cocky on this. I'm one of the greatest writers. But yeah, it really enhanced what I already had. Like, I feel like it enhanced my natural affinity to write. That's why I'm the author, man. I'm not afraid to say. I'm not going to act like I'm Jay-Z out here going off the top of the dome. But it's definitely allowed me to sharpen my pen skills, try to get more concise, more precise with my lyrics and with my delivery and with what I'm trying to get off my chest. And sometimes it's a curse, because I tend to overthink a lot of stuff. The analysis by paralysis. I mean, paralysis by analysis. I got that backwards. And that really sets me back a lot, especially with the music and with the creating process, is just doing way too much, like looking way too much into things, you know what I mean? And just trying to make a mountain out of molehills. And it's just like, I don't need to do that. I just need to sit back, get this little drink going, and just get a pen and pad and just put it all on paper and then come back to it when I'm sober. And, you know, if I mess with it, I do. If I don't, I don't. And then it's just like, go from there, you know? That's where I'm really at right now, is spent so long, you know, trying to execute stuff perfectly and trying to get it just right. And it's like, at the end of the day, they either rock with you or you don't, or they don't. I done heard so much music that I really like because it sounds so raw and amateurish and not polished. And it just comes off beautiful. Like, it's just something about the flaws that really bring out the beauty in something. Like, when you fall in love with a young lady, if you are lucky enough to have, or a young man, whoever, you know, said whatever, whoever you fall in love with, whatever your preference is, I'm not one to judge. But, like, when you really fall in love with somebody, like, you see the imperfections, but it just makes you appreciate that person so much more. At least that's how my heart works. Like, I've been in love a few times, and it's like, when you fall in love, when you feel like you really found that person, like, you see the errors about people, and it's like, yo, even though you have this might not be perfect about you, it's like it makes up who you are. It's like it's a character quirk that you have. Like, I don't want you to be perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. Perfect and beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know what I mean? Like, you could think somebody is curvy, like, yo, I really like curves. Somebody else is like, man, that's just fat. I don't like the fat. Or, yo, I really love the way your eyes look. It's like, yo, your face looks really weird with that eye color. It's like, it's all about what your preference is. And I think the flaws about people really bring out their true gorgeousness. Like, I went to high school with this girl. Well, not even high school. Well, maybe I was in high school. I think maybe I was junior high, 7th or 8th grade. And there was this girl that was in a class with me, and she had lazy eye. Like, I'll just come out and say it. She had lazy eye. I don't know the scientific term for it. I don't know what the PC term for it is, but she had a lazy eye, and I thought that she was gorgeous. Now, I was scared in high school, especially junior high, because I didn't really know that many people. I was at a new high school, so I wasn't one to really be out there, but I thought she was gorgeous. Like, even with the lazy eye and everything, I was like, it brought out her beauty, like, because I was like, it's something that's uniquely you. It's a feature that not many people have. And her eyes, to me, were so pretty. Like, I'm a sucker for a pretty pair of eyes, man. She was brown skin. She had brown eyes. And I loved it. Like, it was just, she was, like, kind of slim. And I was just like, yo, you are uniquely you. And, like, high school people are stupid. So, you know, people used to, I mean, she was one of those girls that was, like, cute, like, not, well, yeah, cute and in the in crowd. So, you know, she she would judge people. She would, you know, she would have her, "Oh, you ugly, you smack." Like, you know how kids roast, and people would roast her back, and it wasn't like she was being excluded from anything. People weren't hating on her in the aspect of like, "Yo, you on the outside looking in, and nobody's really talking to you." It was just like, you know, it was fair game. It was kind of like, you know, she talked about people, people talked about her. It's just how kids did. You know, kids are mean by nature, but I just never got the courage to, like ask her out or anything. The one girl I did ask out, man, she shot me down with the quickness. Like, not really shot me down. It was, what is it called? When you, homecoming? It was homecoming, and I was in, I think, eighth grade. I'm trying to remember. I had an English teacher that I really didn't like, and she punked me in front of, she punked me in front of this other girl. And I was trying to be a playboy back in middle school. But anyway, I asked this girl out, and I had my boy right there. We was walking home from school one day on Galbraith Road, man, here in Cincinnati, Ohio, and she was turned. I know where the street she would break off at from the pack, because you know when you first leave school, pretty much everybody walks in the same direction, and then people start to branch out on their different streets until, you know, they get to their respective homes. And I know exactly where she used to branch off at. And I had my boy with me, and I was like, "Yo, man, just do me up solid and just, like, stand behind me, like, in case she break my heart. Like, let me just, I can turn away and, like, cry on your shoulders up, bro. Just stand right behind me." And, yeah, so she branched off, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to call her KK for this story. I was like, "Hey, KK, let me talk to you for a second." And I was like, "Hey, homecoming's coming up. I don't know if anybody asked you." She's like, "No, nobody's asked me." So I was like, "Yo, can I meet you there? Can I holler at you?" I was terrible. Like, I don't know, like, what is expected of guys even now. So I didn't know if I was expected to, like, go pick her up. Well, obviously, I couldn't pick her up. I was, like, 13, 14. So obviously, I couldn't pick her up. And it wasn't like I was the most popular kid in school. But, you know, I shot my shot. I was like, "Hey, can I meet you there at the day, get homecoming? Can you, you know, come out with me? Or would you be my date, essentially?" And she was like, "Yeah, of course I'll come. Of course I'll be your date. Of course I'll see you up there." And I was like, "Yo, that's really cool. That's really cool." And so I was hyped up. I told my boy, like, "Bro," she said, "Yeah." I was here, going home just like crunk as hell. And that's when crunk was hot. I was like, "Hey, it's live, bro. It's where it's at." And so I got ready. I wore like a nice little shirt. I used to be like ridiculously formal for no reason. I mean, I'm still kind of formal for no reason now. But back then, like, you know, you get your parents in your ear, like, "You want to wear," like, they're so old school. Like, "Yeah, you want to wear like a button down." And getting, I was ready to just really be fly going up there. And, bro, she played me so crazy. She didn't even show up, bro. I was sick. I was waiting by the door. I was like, that's when you really humble yourself, man. When you really realize, like, okay, I'm clearly not, I'm clearly not the hot stuff that I thought I was. And, yeah, so I waited for her for like an hour or two, and she never showed up. And, you know, I pretty much just kicked it for the rest of the night. I found another girl to kick it with. Me and her just were kind of talking. It never became anything serious, but me and the other girl just kind of kicked it and was talking and, you know, just would talk to each other. I danced with a couple people. Got my first twerk, which was live, which was pretty cool from this girl that I'm actually friends with Facebook today. She's cool people. but, so this KK girl, she ended up getting pregnant, and the dad ended up not sticking around. So maybe she got her just desserts. Maybe I'm just hating from afar. But if you would have took me to the dance, I would have stuck around for you. I would have been there with you. But, I mean, it is what it is, man. You know, you win some, you lose some. I mean, that's the moral of the story, is like, you just got to learn your pecking order in the world. You just got to learn kind of where you are. And that kind of taught me a lesson, like, don't depend on these hoes. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. It just taught me a lesson, like, not really seriously. It's like, you can't really depend on people. Not all people, but it's just like, people will put you out there. People will lie to you kind of just to appease you or just to get on your good side. Like, I would have much rather her just denied me. So at least I would have been like, hey, I got to look for somebody else, or I got to go about doing this a different way. And I never really talked to her after that. Maybe something came up, maybe something happened, but she didn't seek me out. I kind of didn't seek her out. And that was kind of the end of like what we went about from there moving forward. And I just kind of moved on. I mean, it is what it is. I, like, just in general, I have not had very much good luck with women, man. In college, I remember a girl said that I was harassing her, apparently. Cause I guess I was just raised without like the proper like dating advice that you get from people. Like I was told like even if a girl like if she's playing hard to get, like you just try a little harder, you know, try show her that you're really interested. And that college showed me, man, like you just gotta sit back and chill and relax. And like if they're not into you, just let it go, bruh. That, like I say, you gotta, a lot of times you just gotta learn through trial and error, like how to date. And it was definitely a lot of error on my side in college. A lot of it was like misunderstandings. Like this one girl thought I was following her, and I was like, I don't even, like, I was trying to talk to her, but not then. Like she was like, he followed me. I was like, I don't even know where you were going. Like I was going in the complete opposite direction. And then I ended up getting taken advantage of by this girl. She like got me drunk and like totally smashed me. And man, that was a crazy experience. Like I'd never reported her for like rape or anything because at the end of the day, like I was drinking and we were alone. So I'm like, you know, I took that L on the chest. You know what I mean? Like I just kind of accepted that. But yeah, man, I just didn't have the best luck with women. Like between that experience, between the girls that I was following her, another girl said that I like because. Listen, man, like people gotta stop. Like, I just don't understand the mixed signals. Me and this chick were on the dance floor, and she literally put my hands down her pants, right? Like, lit on the dance floor, fingering this chick. Like, I had never experienced nothing like this in my life. Like, I was like, I don't even know. I was like, I don't know if she wants the D. I don't know if she wants to be a girlfriend. I was just hella confused. So we leave the dance floor and I like follow her and I'm like, hey, can I get your phone number? She's like, yeah, sure. So she gives me her phone number and I'm on like cloud 10 for the rest of the night. She goes her way. I go back with my group and I'm like just dancing and having a good time with my homies, homie male and female. We all just having fun. And I text her the next day and she don't really text back. So I'm like, all right, I'll text her tomorrow. So then the next day I say, hey, what's up? She texts back, hey. And we kind of like have like a lingering like conversation, like not much of a conversation, but like kind of like every like 3 or 4 messages a day. And I was like, I wasn't really thinking much of it, but hey, she's somebody that I have in my phone, so I'm gonna text her. And then out of nowhere I just get this message like hey, she's not into you, why do you keep texting her phone? And I'm like, bro, she didn't tell me this. Like I was like, how was I supposed to know she wasn't into me? And so I'm like, I don't know who this is texting me, but okay, she's not into me, she's not into me. So then I text her the next day and I'm like, so I don't know who that was texting me, but they say you're not that into me. And then you know, she doesn't get back with me. I don't hear back from her. And I'm just like, the next day I'm like, okay, I guess you're not into me, so I'll just leave you alone. And I just get this long message from her, like, leave me alone, quit playing on my phone. I just think that you're really crazy. Like, you clearly don't want to leave me alone. And I'm like, bruh, if you could just be honest and just like, I'm assuming now that that was really her saying that she's not into you. Like, if you could have just been honest with me from jump and just been like, hey, I'm not that into you. Like, that time on the dance floor, we were just kind of dancing. I wasn't into you at all. I was just kind of using you for the moment. I was just kind of tipsy and drunk, and I just wanted to have a release. I could have been like, yo, that's my bad. That's my fault. I delete you out my phone. But I don't know, man. I don't know if it's just me not being able to read the signs with women. I mean, now I'm pretty much better because I've got like, I just kind of don't initiate anything. Like I'm like, no, if a girl is into you, she'll let you know. I'm super chillax now. Like I have probably been for like last 5, 6 years. Like I don't really reach out. Like I'm not about to be on Facebook like sliding in girls' DMs. I'm not about to be like all out there anymore. Like, that's fighting a losing battle, man. That's something that you ain't gonna win. You just gotta, if a girl's into you, man, like that's my dating advice for the guys out there. If somebody is into you, they will let you know. Don't be the one. Like all that stuff they show in the movies. Like I don't know if it was just my generation, but early 2000s and watching, well, mid to 2010s. Like it's like, yo, you gotta go out there and put your best foot forward and really show you're into that. Don't do it, man. Don't tell nobody how you feeling. Don't listen, it's a trap, bro. It's a setup. I'm trying to tell y'all, just sit back and let things come to you. And if they don't come to you, then you got to make a decision. Listen, this is horrible advice. I'm not gonna act like this is good advice for y'all. This is terrible advice, man. Horrible. Like, top five worst advice you're ever going to hear in your life. I'm just telling you what it was worked for me in my life that's kept me out of trouble. So far, I have not had any rape charges pressed on me. Knock on wood. Let's keep that going for the next 30 years, you know what I mean? But, until I leave this place, I really, you know how, to be like Bill Cosby and catch a rape charge in, like, 80, bro? Man. That's got to be the rough shit in the world. Like, you debated all this way, and then you get, maybe you shouldn't do it. That's probably the key is, like, hey, bro, maybe just don't do it in the first place. That might be the best advice. Hey, don't rape women. Don't drug them. Don't do nothing. If they want you, listen, you take the drinks, okay? You have all the fun, okay? Don't give them nothing but some ice water and some good conversation, okay? Okay, to my children, give them some good conversation. If Uncle Bill could say anything, if I could tell Uncle Bill something as Bill Cosby, I know that was a terrible example. Bill Cosby giving Bill Cosby advice. Don't do it, Bill. Just don't. Just take your drink, go back to your place, and make your money, Bill. But I hear he was an asshole anyway. Man, I'm about to get out of here, y'all. This drink got me tripping. I got a little this tea I'm sipping on now, trying to come back down. But yo, I appreciate y'all for stopping by, man. If y'all find two French bulldogs, holler at Lady Gaga. She got 500,000 for y'all. And ladies, y'all are dope. Man, don't let them drink. I don't know, man. I'll catch y'all next time. Y'all be safe out there. Peace.